Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Well, I'm in Los Angeles for the month where I've seen some nice theater, but I am keeping up with all the stage news from the other coast where there always seems to be stuff happening. But let me start with one play I saw here this past week. It is called The Cake. Its author is Bika Brunstetter. She's a writer-producer on the popular NBC series This Is Us. Now, the play was originally developed at a small theater in Los Angeles called The Echo, and now it is having a second run at the Geffen Playhouse. This is not quite equivalent to going from off to on Broadway, but the Geffen would be considered a step up. It's a more traditional venue, more centrally located, starry names on its board, and a few of its plays have moved onward. I don't see this one going too much further, but it is a pleasant enough and occasionally thought-provoking piece. It deals with a baker named Della in North Carolina. She's a church-going married woman, not a mother, but she's always been very close to a young woman named Jen. Jen walks in one day to announce she's getting married and would like Della to bake the wedding cake. So far, so good. Well, until Della meets the fiancé, who is also a woman. The thought of mixing and blending for a couple whose union she can't endorse sets Della on a self-questioning journey. It isn't natural, she claims. Either is confection or sugar, comes the liberal response. Now, if this sounds familiar, well, yes, a similar real-life case, albeit with a male baker, happened recently and made it all the way to the Supreme Court. The four characters in the play, including Della's husband and Jen's partner, are all very nicely played. The only familiar face is that of Deborah Jo Rupp, who portrayed the mother on That 70s Show on TV. I wish the script had more heft and sharp humor. It's one of those 90-minute ones you feel is 20 minutes too long. The action, directed by Jennifer Chambers, is pretty static. The stage and set are minimal, though there is a clever recurring bit in which Della is hoping to be a contestant for one of those reality TV baking shows. It's all entertaining enough, and any show that includes the line, "If cake were free to everyone, we'd have a lot less problems in the world," can't be all bad. And by the way, yes, pieces of cake are served as you exit. Now, on to some theater chatter of the week. We often discuss the never-ending trend of films being turned into musicals aimed at Broadway. The latest, just announced, is Almost Famous. Now, that was an oldie but goodie about rock stars and their groupies. How it will transfer, who knows, but at least it has music as an innate part of the story. Another thing happening on stages may almost qualify as a trend. This is role reversal or gender-blind casting. Glenda Jackson is on her way to Broadway again after winning the Tony last year, this time in the title role of King Lear. Yes, you heard right. Well, she did it to acclaim in London. I have no idea who will play her daughters. Perhaps they will now be her sons. A show called Bernhard Hamlet has just opened on Broadway, starring Janet McTeer as the great actress Sarah Bernhardt, who took on the challenging role of Shakespeare's Danish prince in 1897. So the idea is not entirely novel. And soon to open, actually it has opened, on London's West End is Sondheim's Company. Now that's the one, of course, about the commitment-phobic Bobby and all his married friends trying to change him. Well, in this production, it is still Bobby, but spelled B-O-B-B-I-E. And her friends are trying to coax her. Now, revivals are hardly a trend, but they still can make news. Also going to London next season will be Sally Field and Bill Pullman in a production of Arthur Miller's All My Sons. Now, around the same time, Miller's play will be revived on Broadway, starring Annette Bening and Tracy Letts. And it's not like it has been such a long time since the last Broadway production. The play, which originally debuted in 1947, was brought back 30 years later, starring Richard Kiley. Then in 2008, John Lithgow, Diane Wiest, and Katie Holmes performed in a version. Obviously, it is the strong roles that attract actors who in turn attract investors. Now, I mentioned Sally Field before. I just read her surprisingly candid and compelling memoir. The same week, I happened to watch the new documentary about the life or lives of Jane Fonda on HBO. Now, these women had a lot of pain as children. The repercussions lasted pretty much their whole lives. And while they later had powerful husbands and boyfriends, they were often mistreated or underappreciated by them. But there was one man they both shared who was critically important to their stories, and that was Lee Strasberg, the powerful force behind the Actors Studio. Field had just finished three seasons of the TV series The Flying Nun, which she hated doing, by the way. And one of her fellow nuns, if that's not an oxymoron, urged Field to join her at one of Strasberg's classes. Well, she did, and the master teacher asked Field why she was there, since she was actually already a fully employed celebrity, unlike most of the students. "I want to learn to act," she said. And for many years after, she was a regular and devoted follower. Fonda knocked on Strasberg's door one day, frustrated with the superficial roles she was getting, and asked if she could join up. She sat in the back of the studio for months before getting the nerve to do a scene, after which an obviously impressed Strasberg said she was truly talented. That set her on her road. The Actor's Studio technique, of course, is to use the traumas of your life to inhabit your characters. Both those women had much to call on and eventually went on to win 2 Oscars apiece. And finally, every year it is announced which playwright had the most work done that season around the country. It's often a surprise. This year's winner is no exception, the writer being Lucas Hanath. His most recent work, Doll's House 2, will have been staged 27 times this year, and 6 productions of his other plays were also produced. Not bad for a guy who is only 39. No small item worth mentioning, 11 of the 20 of the most produced playwrights were women. So, Jill, things are looking up, or at least a little more equal.
And that has been growing for a bit, has it not?
Yes, it has, of course.
I mean, I think that it's important to mention that because for those who live in a vacuum and only consume top-line news, and by this I mean it's like, what's happening at the moment? Make it fair, or this, or I've been this or that or the other.
And also it's interesting because these are plays produced around the country, you know, not strictly Broadway. Mostly it's around the country. Right. And women, frankly, female playwrights are being much more produced off-Broadway and outside of New York than they are in New York. So that's, in that way, it's not surprising.
But it's one of those stats that you actually, one of those statistics that you actually have to look at the, again, the underlying information, because I don't know how many, I mean, literally, I am sure there are many female playwrights. I am sure that there are many male playwrights, but I don't know who is more inclined, who life is more supportive of. And by life, I mean just generally saying, okay, I'm going to take a crack at this. You know, it's like if you are outside the, you know, Broadway proper.
Exactly. You just don't even think twice about it. Like I said, I saw The Cake this week written by a woman, about a woman. It just, you know, the more you leave the city or even go off Broadway, we've talked about this before, there's still some kind of reluctance, and it's about producing a Broadway show written by a woman, though.
Though Joanne Rowling's a woman.
And who is that?
J.K. Rowling. I'm just saying that.
Of course.
Right, but
that's not her play. I mean, it was her books that, you know.
My point is that some things become so part of the culture. Beatrix Potter was female. You know, that something peculiar, in my view, and my word in my has happened where it's. Where that's just not. Rachel Carson is a woman.
Oh yeah.
But you don't. it's just bizarre when people who have just on their merits established themselves are somehow minimized.
Yeah, marginalized or forgotten.
Because, you know, and then suddenly it's like, oh, well, a company is a really interesting. Because when company was written, that was, you know, this was just pre. Things have changed so much in the how many decades. And,
yeah,
you know.
That's true. And it's interesting that company by Sondheim, who is a very openly gay man, by the way, and here he wrote that show about a heterosexual man getting married. Now they're doing it as a woman. But I don't know if company's ever been done with
a gay,
you know, about a gay man marrying another gay man.
Exactly.
That would make complete
And that
sense.
Was my first, I'm sorry to interrupt, but that was exactly my, that was my first thought.
Yeah.
When again, not taking a position one way or the other about this, like, why not try it?
Yeah.
But that was my first thought, because when you re-examine, when you revive, you are, in theory, recontextualizing.
Right.
And as you said, Sondheim is and has been openly gay since, you know, forever.
And I wonder if he's, I have to go back and look. I just read a lot about West Side Story, because I just read, by the way, I should have mentioned another book I just finished, which was a memoir of Leonard Bernstein's daughter, Jamie. We could talk about that another time. I really should have mentioned that, because that's all about Bernstein and theater. And, of course, Sondheim plays a key role in that because of their connection on West Side Story. But as far as I know, I'd have to think back. I've seen all the Sondheim plays. Has he ever written one? About a gay character?
I don't know the answer, but it would be.
He hasn't written a new play in a long time, so or a new show, I should say.
But that's mostly, and this goes to what I was alluding to earlier. They are either core topics such as relationships that come in many stripes, or they are really fascinating people, assassins. He's not looking at the gender, quote, per se, but rather the geist.
Right.
And so that's, going back to Leonard Bernstein for a second, I just remember, you know, being a kid and asking my mom, like, well, is he married? And, once again, by the time I was not old, I was like, yeah, well, whatever. And that's the other thing I remember just vaguely about very talented artistic people. It just you were allowed to be whatever you were. It wasn't a big deal. It wasn't, oh, because of. It's just, that's fine. Yeah. Let's move on.
Listen, theater has been
predominantly
the most open, you know, welcoming, let's put it that way, welcoming medium in terms, obviously, of whether people are straight or gay. And it's been, Broadway itself has still been slow in terms of producing female playwrights. For whatever reason, maybe it's the women aren't writing them because they know the history's been bad and, I won't even bother, you know, I'll take it somewhere else or I'll go off from it. You know, a little bit of, you know, not having the confidence, but that's all going to change. And it's only getting better.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.